You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 5. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely, on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you confessing the hurt and pain and lament we feel that your church has been closed. Holy God, send your spirit to help us open the church and to serve you as your saints on earth and in heaven. Amen. When are you going to open the church? If I had a nickel every time I've been asked this question, I would have a lot of nickels. And if you serve on our council, I'm guessing you'd probably have a lot of nickels too. Amen. When are you gonna open the church? It's a really good question, actually. At first, when I heard the question, I just kind of went, ugh. But I have to tell you, day after day, being asked this question, I really started thinking about it. What does that mean? If the church is gonna be open or not? So I think we should talk about it. And in order to talk about it, we first got to define our terms, right? If we want the church to be open, we need to be clear on what the church is. So let me ask you, what is the church? Anyone want to shout out?
The people. We are the church.
We are the church. The church is the people. Now, these buildings behind us, we love these buildings. They are useful. They are beautiful. But are they the church? They're not. It's a sanctuary. It's a classroom. It's a fellowship hall. They are useful and beloved instruments that allow the church to gather and assemble. But what is the church? Say it again. You already said it right.
We are
the church. So let us approach this question again. When are you going to open the church?
It never closed.
Okay, never closed. That's good. I like that. We're going to take a look at our readings this morning because we have some really good advice from St. Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians. This is our third week of studying the Thessalonians on this All Saints Sunday. Now remember, Paul went to Thessalonica and he opened this church by the Holy Spirit. People felt the call, they heard the gospel, they gathered, and a church was planted. And then Paul had to leave because he was a missionary. He, you know, the rolling stone gathers no moss. I mean, Paul, he kept moving. And so sometime later, he wrote this letter back to the Thessalonians, helping them to keep their church open. Because there's always going to be something. We got to be prepared. There could always be something that makes it hard to be the church. Lately, of course, it's been a pandemic. But you can imagine the other things. There could be an earthquake. There are times of violence that we pray do not happen. But there are storms, tropical storms, we know, that have affected other parts of our country. I was talking to someone the other day about all the improvements we've made to our technology, and they said, well, what are you going to do when there's an electromagnetic pulse from the sun and it ruins all of our technology? But it could happen. If you talk to the physicists, they'll tell you one of those solar flares and all of our sophisticated technology wiped. So how do we be the church? Don't cut the video feed. I wasn't trying to make any dig on our technology, okay? We like it. It's good. But we need to be prepared. How do we open up the church when we can't use our buildings? If we can't use our technology, if these roadblocks happen, how do we keep the church open? And we have some great insight from St. Paul. And first and foremost, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God coming to us, is what enlivens our hearts, gathers us together, and enables us to be saints and to be the church. We can't do it alone, but only the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, gives us the ability. And here's some things we can do. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Start, Paul says this, "You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we may not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." Paul's reminding them, hey, when I showed up, you know, last year, 2 years ago, I wasn't a mooch, is what Paul's saying. Remember how hard we worked. We showed up and we worked night and day. Some people said Paul was a leather worker or a tent maker. The point is, he worked. He showed up and said, what do you need help with? What do you need to fix? Let me be productive. So as the church, we got to work. We got to do projects. And we should give an affirmation where affirmation is due. Many of our members have been busy taking care of our grounds, doing projects, building a new cross tower, cleaning the facilities every week. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. The church is a busy working people. Our worship always ends with the sending out. And if you ever think, well, gosh, what can I do? I'm limited in my physical capacity to work. Working is also prayer, right? It's doing whatever gift God has given you, using that to work. And when we do that, the church is open. Because who is the church?
We are
the church. And so when we work and we serve God, the church is open. Continuing verse 10, "You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers." Paul says, you saw the way that we behaved. So in order to open the church, we got to work hard, be productive, but we also reflect God's values in our lives, just living our lives according to God's laws. To love our neighbor and to love God, like we talked about last week, the two most important laws. When we show God's love through our actions, the church is open. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Verse 11, as you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. One of the things that makes the church open, and by the way, who is the church?
We are
the church. In order for us to be open, to be God's church, we've got to evangelize, disciple. That is essential to the church. Each one to teach one. Who are you mentoring? Who are you taking time out to teach the faith to? It could be a child. It could be a neighbor. It could be an aunt. It could be a friend. But in order for the church to be open, each and every one of us should have someone that we are mentoring. Like Paul said, I was like a father to you, encouraging you, coaching you. You may not think you know all the answers. You may not think that you know the Bible, but I guarantee you, you know more than somebody. And whoever that somebody is, even if it's just your life, wisdom, experience of serving God, you can be mentoring and teaching somebody. And again, going back to Paul, Paul didn't always do that. In fact, he seldom did that in a church building proper. He was almost always doing it while he did his job, working side by side with people and telling them about Jesus. So in order for us, the church, to be open, we've got to be mentoring, teaching somebody, each one to teach one. And then finally, the most important thing for the church to be open, alive, and functioning is in verse 13. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word. God's word, which is also at work in you believers. In order for the church to be open, we have got to be in God's word. The word of God we find in the Bible. We find it in our sacraments, in Holy Communion and Holy Baptism. We experience the Word of God in caring conversations with one another, hopefully in the sermon, occasionally, at least, I hope. But we got to be in the Word of God, opening up our Bibles, reading them, studying them. And when we do that, the Church of God is open. In our family, oftentimes we do church throughout the week at dinner time. It's not fancy, it's not highly structured, it's not sophisticated, but when we all gather around that table and we're eating, I will tell a story. I will read a verse, something I've been studying to get ready for the sermon, and we'll just talk about it. Sometimes it lasts a while, sometimes it's very brief. But to be reading the Word of God throughout the day, every day, the church is open. By the way, it is the Word of God that makes the sacraments the sacraments. As painful as it was for those 6 months that we weren't able to come and receive the sacrament, when you can't do that, the Word of God is what sustains us. Because at the end, it's the Word of God and us gathering that makes the sacraments special. So when we can't, for whatever reason, receive that bread and wine, the Word of God will enter into us, work within us, and make a difference. Like Paul said, you received the Word of God, and the Word of God was in you, and it worked inside of you. I remember about 5 years ago, I was finishing up my studies at Claremont School of Theology. And I want to give a shout out to Reverend Dr. Tom Johnson, who's worshiping with us. Good morning, Pastor Tom. For 3 years, my family moved back to Covina, my wife's hometown. And we were welcomed at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church while I studied to get my Master's of Divinity from Claremont School of Theology. And it was a 3 years of joy, of studying and learning and growing. But it came to an end. And we had to go move to Berkeley for me to continue my education. It was the first time since we got married and we fell in love and we started our family that we had to leave Southern California and go to the distant, wild land of Berkeley. And before we went, we were just playing. We were having fun. It was the summertime. And in the backyard of my wife's family home where we had been living, my father-in-law has a big slide. He got this slide, it's like from a park that a park or a playground was getting rid of, and you have to climb. You know, it's made out of like steel. It's an old school, tall, awesome, fun slide. And I was working with my kids on how to go down the slide, and they were a little bit scared. And so I was climbing up the ladder with them. And as they were scared, I said to them, it just popped into my brain, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The word of God, it's from the Bible. And we said that and we climbed up and they went down the slide and we had a really fun time and we did it again and again and again and again to burn their energy. And when we were all done sliding and we were back in the house and we had dinner and the sun was going down and it was a nice evening, all of a sudden in my stomach I began to have pain. Bad pain, nauseous pain. Worse nausea than I've ever had in my life. Worse than the flu, worse than food poisoning. And so I went to the hospital. And when I got there, they did the tests and they admitted me and they said, appendicitis. And I was all alone in the hospital, and we were getting ready to leave, and I was feeling all alone. And in my head, I said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The word of God. The church is open. The nurses and the doctors said, oh, what are you, you know, what's your deal? What's your story? I'm studying to be a pastor. Oh, wow. Why are you doing that? Well, let me tell you. And when I told them, the church was open. And I had my surgery, and I made it through, and it was okay. And I know, you know, many of our members know what I'm talking about. It's not easy to have medical things happen, to have scares, to not feel well. We are all dealing with a little anxiety right now. But all it takes is the word of God. And to share that all of a sudden the church is open anywhere, any place, in a hospital, at your work, in your home. The church is open with the word of God, with sharing it. Picking up the phone, if you live alone, picking up the phone, calling someone, writing a letter. When we do those things, the church is open, and then we are part of the saints, All Saints Sunday. Each of us living God's calling, being the church. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.